Are you trying to squeeze the starting solid food stuff into your already busy schedule? Well, I have an all-in-one, done-for-you solution that's going to take the guesswork out of feeding your baby. My online program is called Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro. It contains all of my baby-led weaning training videos, the original 100 First Foods content library, plus a 100-day meal plan with recipes, like the exact sequence of which foods to feed in which order. So if you want to stop trying to piece all this feeding stuff together on your own, I would be honored if you would join me inside of the program. You can get signed up at babyledweaning.co/program.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moms are talking about wanting to reduce their use of social media. They're feeling like they can't trust their own instinct because they're getting so many different messages from social media about how they should be doing things. We support moms in reducing usage or moderating the usage, maybe not following certain accounts that might make them sort of feel that sense of not being confident in their own decision making.
Hey there, I'm Katie Ferraro, registered dietitian, college nutrition professor, and mom of seven, specializing in baby-led weaning. Here on the Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro podcast, I help you strip out all of the noise and nonsense about feeding, giving you the confidence and knowledge you need to give your baby a safe start to solid foods using baby-led weaning.
How's your anxiety level about your baby starting solid foods? I know I hear from moms who are like, I am mortified. I am terrified. I am so nervous that my baby's going to choke on food or have an allergic reaction, or it's just like so stressful trying to figure out like what food and how much and when to feed the baby. And raising babies is stressful, and we don't always get the support we need as new moms. Today, I'm joined by someone who thinks that we should and can be doing things and supporting new moms in a totally different way. Her name is Andrea Niles, and she's a clinical psychologist and mom of two. Andrea is the founder of Prospera Mental Health and Wellness, and they provide one-on-one weekly sessions with perinatal certified mental health coaches. So in this interview, Andrea is going to share how she herself had a traumatic birth experience, and she recognized that, hey, even as a clinical psychologist with all of her training, she personally needed to ask for help in the postpartum period. But she ran into one roadblock after another, whether that was shortage of qualified mental health professionals that she could see in a timely manner, or to the exorbitant cost of having to pay out of pocket for services if she could even get an appointment. So Andrea basically went and created the mental health coaching program she wished that she had access to as a new mom. And in this interview, she's going to be sharing one of the tools that she developed to help moms who, if you have to have like difficult conversations with other family members or friends who are overstepping their bounds. I personally use this tool. It's called DEAR. I learned about it in this interview with Andrea. I used it with my own husband just today when we were having a rather spirited conversation about which of us could be maybe pulling more weight with our kids in the morning routine. So I think so much of parenting is stressful, and acknowledging that is important. And Dr. Andrea Niles is going to share some coping techniques for you if you're stressed about starting solid foods or you're scared of choking. And I really want you to listen to the end, because she's going to share some helpful tips. This one really spoke to me. It was if you're like one of those people whose mind always wanders to the darkest place. Like, I know personally, I always think about like the worst thing that could happen to my kids. Like, that's my default. She's going to share exactly how you can reframe those thoughts in a more positive light in this episode.
When I was just sort of thinking about starting solids with my son, one of my coworkers, whose son was a little bit older than mine, came to work one day and talked about how his son actually had started choking on a plum that he was eating. And I remember sort of hearing that story and just thinking, oh my God, that sounds like that's absolutely terrifying. And sort of envisioning, you know, what it was like for him to sort of see that happen and how they reacted. And I said, you know, what did you do? And I remember that sort of gave me this sense of like anxiety around what it was going to look like to start solids with my son.
And then I'm sure the first time you gave him a plum, you were like, this is it. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think I gave him a plum. I was like, okay, I don't think that's a good idea.
So I know you shared you are a mom yourself. I know you're a clinical psychologist. I'm just curious, what inspired you to specialize in the area of maternal health that you've kind of niched down into?
So So when I had my first baby, I actually had a really challenging birth. I would say it was traumatic. And I remember, you know, thinking about, I knew I wanted to have another child, but that challenge around, you know, thinking through like, do I want to go through that again? And so I looked for mental health support myself. And as someone who's an expert, I simply went to Google and I just Googled and I got on a wait list and I paid, you know, it took me months to get in. I paid a huge amount out of pocket. And so as someone who is really an expert, I really struggled to find the kind of support that I was looking for. And so that really inspired me to focus on moms because, you know, this is a period where moms really need help. They need it fast. You know, they can't sit on a wait list. It needs to be easy for them to get going. And so I really wanted to tackle that particular problem.
In our audience, as I've shared with you, they're parents, caregivers, they have babies that are like around 6 to 12 months of age, they're starting solid foods, but we also have a lot of clinical healthcare providers who are interested in learning more about infant feeding. And this transition, as you shared, you know, just listening to your coworker, like, oh my gosh, time to start solid foods can be really stressful for parents, especially if they're dealing on top of it with, you know, postpartum depression, anxiety, or self-doubt. And you mentioned the fear of choking on the plum. You know, we have a lot of parents who are just terrified to introduce anything other than infant milk or sometimes, you know, maybe pureed foods. Do you have strategies that you can suggest for these parents who might feel like, you know, isolated or nobody else gets me? Or like, is it weird that I'm scared of this thing that may or may not happen?
Yeah. And I would say maybe there are two kinds of strategies. So one would be to sort of look at the evidence. So sort of looking at kind of the history of humankind, you know, this is a transition that all humans go through, you know, from drinking milk to having food. And so, you know, humans are very well designed to sort of make that transition effectively. And if, you know, the chance of dying at 6 months when you start food was high, you know, we wouldn't be alive anymore. So sort of being able to look at, you know, how likely is it that my child is really going to die as a result of going into this transition? So I would say that's kind of one piece of sort of changing how you think about it. And then the other piece is also being able to feel prepared. So feeling like you know how to prepare the food to make sure that it's done safely and to also plan, you know, what would I do if that did happen to, and to know what the steps are to take to make sure that you can respond effectively.
I love that idea. Like literally what's the worst that could happen? And I think we all go to that place as parents. Like I'm constantly thinking about the worst thing that could happen. That's step one. But then looking at the data, how realistic is it that the worst thing that I'm imagining is going to happen? And what powers do I have within my control to manipulate that, to make a safe eating environment? But, you know, it is true. Children sitting safely in a high chair, like death from choking is incredibly rare. We tell parents, death from anaphylaxis in infancy from a food allergy reaction is incredibly rare. Like I know these things can happen, but they're outliers. And if we learn a little bit about the safety and look at the data, sometimes it's like, oh, you're right. Babies have been transitioning from milk to solid foods for millennia. You know, things change the way we do it for sure. But I think what's hard for parents is like, we're in this information overload era, right? You've got social media. Theoretically, it can provide a support network or outlet for parents who feel isolated or alone. But it also, as we all know, can foster feelings of isolation or, you know, comparison, contribute to negative mental health outcomes. How do you counsel parents who are feeling particularly affected by social media? And do you have any suggestions for managing that through modern motherhood?
On our platform at Prospera, we actually have, that's something that comes up often, that moms are talking about wanting to reduce their use of social media. They're feeling like they can't trust their own instinct because they're getting so many different messages from social media about how they should be doing things. We support moms in reducing usage or moderating the usage, maybe not following certain accounts that might make them sort of feel that sense of not being confident in their own decision making. And so one of the things that our coaches do and provide is this kind of accountability. So you might set a goal with your coach to reduce your social media use, or I'm going to unfollow these 5 accounts, you know, this week. And then the coach checks in and checks in with, you know, how you did that. And so having that accountability to try to make those changes can be really, really helpful.
I love that idea of accountability. I feel like whenever I talk to a friend, they'll be like, well, I'm not on Instagram anymore. And I'm like, oh, you're so lucky. Like, tell me about it. What's it like? Like, honestly, if I didn't have to do it for work, I wouldn't be there either. But I'm really proud of them. Like, good for you. Think about all that time that you have back. And they're sometimes like, yeah, duh. Like, why do you think I did it? It sounds so obvious, but the people that actually did it, I'm really inspired by them. So I love this idea of having someone on a platform that could hold me accountable to that. And what you say, like, unfollowing accounts that make you feel bad. If you're constantly thinking about an account, like, you should unfollow it. And we check ourselves at work if we find, like, hey, dude, you've been talking about this account way too much. I think you should unfollow. It's like, we're friendly enough to say that. And it's kind of nice, I think, that your coaches have that relationship where you probably get to know the clients and, like, hey, maybe letting go of that account is not the worst thing for you right now. So we have some of the stressors related to started solid foods. Like, it can be intrinsic. Like, we have moms who, you know, they self-report history of or active eating disorders. They will acknowledge, listen, I have a fraught relationship with food myself and I don't want to project this onto my kids. So there's the internal intrinsic pressures, but there's these external pressures, right? We have maybe a well-intentioned mom or a mother-in-law who comments to you here all the time, like, your baby's hungry, your baby needs to start solid foods early, or that baby's not getting enough from finger foods, so you need to spoon feed the baby. Do you have any tips for parents who are stressed from other individuals, like, outside of themselves? And then how do you deal with that?
That's definitely a tricky one. And it comes up across lots of different areas of kind of unwanted opinions or, you know, people doing things that you don't want them to be doing when it comes to your child. And one of the things that we do at Prospera is we actually use a very kind of structured tool to help moms actually stand up for themselves and sort of assert themselves. We call it the DEAR skill, and it has four steps where you actually sort of go through the process of describing, you know, what that person is doing. So maybe it's a mother-in-law and you say, I'm noticing that every time I'm trying to feed my child, you have something to say about it. And then you tell them how that feels. That really makes me more stressed about my parenting. You know, can you please stop doing that and just let me sort of focus on feeding my child? I would really appreciate it. I think it would help our relationship. So you sort of walk them through the sort of steps of how to assert a boundary like that.
Is DEAR an acronym?
Yes. Yeah.
So you did describing, was that step one?
Yeah. Describe, express how you're feeling, assert what you want, and then reinforce that change that you're asking them to make.
That's fabulous. I find, like, you can probably put that into a script and cycle it in and out of lots of different situations. I love the example that you gave of just stating outright, you do this often. Like, that is a fact I'm describing. And then it makes me feel like this. Those are such important skills. I think I'm not formally trained in psychology. And then they give you all these babies and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you almost need a PhD to help manage all of the outside conversations you have about everything. Every decision can be so fraught. So having a tool like that sounds really helpful. In your program, do the coaches teach the clients how to use that? Is that, like, applicable to lots of different situations? Is a tool like that something that you would just recommend in a certain case? Like, tell me more about a tool like that, because that sounds so useful.
Yeah. And so the way our program works is the coach, you know, depending on what a mom is struggling with, a coach will recommend specific tools. So we have a tools library, it has dozens of tools, just like that DEAR tool. So the coach will recommend it. The coach might work with you in session to actually practice. So we do role plays where you actually practice talking to that person that you want to, you know, change their behavior. And then we'll assign it, you know, we'll assign that tool, you know, for practice. We have this sort of interactive online tools that moms can use between sessions. And then that accountability. So the next week, how did it go? You know, talking to mother-in-law about this, or sort of, because it can be obviously really, really hard to approach some of these topics. So we use it, our clients use it for a lot of things, you know, asking a partner to do more to help is a very common one, talking with family about, you know, asserting boundaries with family and things like that.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online experience. All you do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I used to think therapy was just for people who have experienced major trauma. But therapy can help you be at your best no matter what you're going through. So whether it's to learn new positive coping skills, set more realistic boundaries, or just show up as a better version of yourself, BetterHelp is here to help. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can help you get there, and BetterHelp can help you. Visit betterhelp.com/weaning today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weaning, and get 10% off your first month.
I
I think that idea of being able to work with someone in session and role play, like where you can kind of practice, because you get nervous. It's like, I don't want to insult you. You are the baby's grandmother, but like, it's really making me feel bad. I don't know. Like, just practicing the words that you're going to say and having a framework or a script can be so helpful. So that's nice that they have access to that tools library. I wanted to ask you a little bit about food rules, because you and I had talked previously when we were getting ready for this interview. And I know personally, as a dietitian and a creator of infant feeding programs, there are some parents who really like meal plans and a roadmap. They like the scripts, they like the tools, the whole like kind of done for you idea of how to introduce solid foods. But then there are other parents who they really want to curate and formulate their own approach. And they kind of bristle at the idea of food rules when it comes to feeding. So in your experience, what sort of support can we give parents as they transition their baby to solid food so that, you know, we can provide the evidence-based guidance and information, like as a registered dietitian that I'm like obligated to provide, but like, I don't want to veer too far into the world of you have to do this and you should do that. How do you balance that in parenthood? Because everyone learns differently.
I always like to start, and our coaches will always start with open questions about, you know, what are you feeling concerned about when it comes to starting feeding? Or where do you feel like you still have questions about how to approach this? And sort of figuring out, you know, where they are in terms of their knowledge, you know, where they are in terms of what they need help with and what their concern is. And then that gives you, before you sort of launch into, well, here are all the rules and here's the food you should prepare and this is how, you know, you have a sense of like where they are and what their knowledge is already and where they're struggling and where they need more information.
And I think it's a great point, because if you are a vegan family with severe food allergies, recommending that you do shrimp and shellfish, you know, that doesn't connect with them and it doesn't serve them. And there's no reason why they need to do that if, you know, there's not one size fits all approach. I think that's the nice benefit of your program, is that there's that one-on-one opportunity where your coaches can have the time to ask those open-ended questions and then utilize that feedback so that they can craft a tailored plan, because what works for one family might not work for another family. I know with Prospera, you connect mental health coaches with parents to help provide emotional support. I was curious how mental health coaching is different from therapy. And then what are the benefits of working with a coach as opposed to a licensed therapist?
That's a great question. And coaching is a new model. So that's really where our innovation lies at Prospera, is we have a lot of moms who are coaches. We bring them on and then we certify them in evidence-based interventions for things like postpartum anxiety and depression and rage, et cetera. I would say the biggest difference, our coaches really focus on supporting people with actionable coping tools and strategies that they can use. And so it's sort of very future-oriented. We focus a lot on setting goals and figuring out, you know, where do you want to be? Where are you now? Where do you want to be? Let's use tools to get you there. So very action-oriented, tools-focused. One thing that we don't do that licensed therapists or psychiatrists could do, we don't diagnose, and we're not treating, you know, psychiatric conditions per se. So we're helping people manage symptoms, reduce anxiety, reduce symptoms of depression. But if someone has a more sort of severe issue or they want a diagnosis, then a licensed mental health professional is going to be the way to go.
And are the coaches trained to identify where their, you know, scope of practice would stop, and then I think at this point, you would need to seek further help with this or that professional?
We have a team of clinical psychologists who oversees the coaches. They have very clear guidelines about what kinds of things clients might talk about or start to have challenges would make it outside of our scope of practice. And then we have our protocols around, you know, referring out and getting them connected with a licensed therapist in that case.
And you mentioned that this Prospera model, it involves coaching, which is a newer model. It is innovative. I can imagine that it also helps cut down on cost. One thing you shared yourself was that after your postpartum experience, you had to pay out of pocket. And I can't imagine that that was cheap. So could you talk a little bit about how pricing might come into play with your model? Because people are listening, like, this sounds great. How much does it cost?
The reason that this is particularly innovative is that it's solving two massive problems that are facing the mental health field. So one is availability of providers. There are not enough licensed therapists to meet the demand. And so by using coaches and training people who are, you know, amazing, incredible supporters, but they don't maybe have years of education and training. So being able to use that workforce and then train them and certify them to do really, really good work with people allows us to scale it and meet the demand. And then the second piece, as you're mentioning, is the cost. And so it really drives down the cost of the care. So our sessions are, for our most affordable plan, you're paying $47 per session, which is just a fraction of what you would pay for a sort of perinatal specialized licensed therapist.
Is it FSA, HSA eligible, I would assume?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, people can pay with those accounts. And we're working on insurance coverage. That would be something I would love for us to be able to have.
I would love for you to be able to have that too, because $47 a session sounds way cheaper than any insurance plan I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's similar to the copay that you would pay with a licensed therapist. So we're trying to make it as accessible as possible. But of course, driving it down further with insurance coverage would be amazing.
I know one thing, like for us, I'm a registered dietitian. Dietitians cannot become feeding therapists. In the United States, only speech language pathologists or occupational therapists who have advanced training in infant feeding or pediatric feeding can be a feeding therapist. So I work a lot with typically developing healthy population, but obviously trained if, hey, listen, what you're describing does not sound typical. If I were you, I would recommend speaking to your primary care provider and asking for a referral for feeding therapy if they think it's appropriate. Basically passing it off to the people who can do it. And sometimes parents, they hear that like feeding therapy and they think it's like a lifelong sentence. Like, oh my gosh, my child's going to be in feeding therapy forever. And we do a lot of education on this is what feeding therapy is. This is how it works. This is talking, having feeding therapists on the show. Like, this is what I do in a session. This is how it's going to go. And saying like, you know, this is something that, you know, with a couple of sessions, in many cases, we can give you the tools that you need to either identify if there truly is a problem, give you tools to help you get over or get past the problem. And then you don't need to be in feeding therapy for the rest of your life. I'm curious for your model, on average, how many sessions would a person meet with a coach? Is there like a program where, hey, in 5 sessions, we help you with new parenting and most parents can get what they need and get on, or other people would maybe need to stay longer? Can you talk a little bit about retention?
When we look at the data, so we collect data on anxiety and depression reduction over the course of working with a coach. And so we see at around 3 months is where people get the biggest benefit on average. You know, that's averaged across hundreds of moms. And so that's generally what we'll tell people is about, you know, 3 months of working with a coach is where you'll really see kind of the greatest benefit. Of course, it could be less or more depending on the individual. We've had some people in just 3 or 4 sessions feel like, okay, I'm totally cured. And then people who have stayed with us for, you know, for a year and a half since we were founded. And so it depends on the person and what they're looking for, but usually about 12 sessions is kind of the standard for the number of.
And that's a weekly session, I guess, 4 weeks in a month. Okay, so 3 months. And you mentioned some of the conditions, like talk about rage and postpartum depression, and is raising kids across the board is a stressful situation. And I'm not a mental health professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I just sense this, like, since I started teaching and specializing in infant feeding 8 years ago, like the anxiety level is palpable and it's only increasing. And that's even, you know, post-pandemic. Parents are so stressed out about lots of different things, but starting solid foods, especially with that piece about choking. And you and I have talked a lot about, you know, choking is the primary fear, but there's other things. Disordered eating or food allergies, like food holds and carries with it a lot of emotion. For parents who are really stressed out about a multitude of things, can you just share what some of the benefits of coaching are? Like you get access to tools, but in what other ways can it help just hopefully lower that stress level? You're tracking data about reduction in anxiety. What else is happening inside of a coaching session that can help alleviate stress for these parents?
There's 2 critical pieces. So the first is feeling like there's somebody who understands what you're going through and someone who's there to listen. And, you know, we've known for centuries that just talking about our challenges and our emotions is beneficial to mental health, and talking to somebody who is good at being supportive and active listening. That's the one piece. And so, you know, if you look at reviews for Prospera, you'll see that again and again and again. My coach is a great listener. She understands me. I feel understood. I feel safe talking about whatever I need to talk about. And then the second piece is those, you know, specific coping tools. And so that's sort of woven in alongside this support and understanding is, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an actual exercise. Go home, do it, and let's check in and see how it went. And every week you're getting something to work on, something to practice. And it's really the combination of those 2 pieces.
The things that you're practicing, is it always like a dialogue or is it sometimes journaling? What are the actual activities that you're going to be sent home with?
Great question. We have a lot of different kinds of activities. We have some sort of educational articles that we'll usually do in the first session. We have interactive tools where you actually It walks you through step by step. So what was the situation where you felt anxious? How intense was your anxiety? What thoughts were you having? You list the thoughts. What thinking traps? And you have a list of thinking traps and you go through and sort of select where you might have sort of been looking at things in a way that wasn't reflecting reality. And then you try to reframe your thoughts. So the sort of step by step walking through a skill of, for example, reframing or changing your thoughts. We have a handful of mindfulness activities. And I think those are sort of the three main categories or types of activities that we have.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Is there a final thought you can share with moms out there who are listening? They're just stressed to the max about this next phase of their baby's development, making the transition to solid foods. How can we, again, if possible, in a short podcast interview episode like this, help reduce the stress associated with this next stage?
The thing that's most powerful when it comes to anxiety, if you're anxious about starting, you're anxious about getting it perfect or baby choking, just start. Start with small steps. Start with something that feels comfortable. And then start to work your way up to foods that feel a little bit more scary. And that's the most powerful way to reduce our anxiety, is to bring it on all at once by doing the thing that we're afraid of. So facing your fears. And then I guess the second piece would be, if you are really feeling overwhelmed by this, if you're struggling, you don't feel like yourself, there's absolutely no shame in reaching out for support. It does not mean that you're weak or that you're not a good mom or something's wrong with you. I think every mother should have support as she goes through this massive life transition into being a mom and all the challenges that come with that.
At a minimum, this is what we need. And so I know you guys are working tirelessly at Prospera to bring that to reality. Where can our audience go if they want to learn more about your program, learn about mental health coaching, and then to support your business as well?
You can check out our website. It's prosperamhw.com. So you'll see all the information there about our program and how it works. If you want to learn more, if you're thinking about maybe trying this, we have a free phone consult. You can go on there, schedule it. We have openings, as soon as this evening, tomorrow. So we're really trying to get rid of that wait list. You're not waiting. You can get in, you can get started right away, schedule a consult and talk with our team and figure out if it might be a fit for you.
Are the consults with the coaches always on the phone or are they video?
Initial phone consult is over the phone, and then the sessions going forward are videos.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated getting to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Katie.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Andrea Niles. She's a clinical psychologist, the founder of Prospera Mental Health and Wellness. They're online at prosperamhw.com. I'll link to Andrea's resources on the show notes page and in the description for this episode. If you go to blwpodcast.com/420, you can find all of her details. And if you think you might benefit from one-on-one mental health coaching, there's a link there for that free call that she mentioned. I want to say a special thank you to our partners at Airwave Media. If you guys like podcasts that feature food and science and using your brain, check out some of the podcasts from Airwave. We're online at blwpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Sleep Cove podcast can help you. Hi, I'm Christopher Fitton, the voice and clinical hypnotherapist behind Sleep Cove. Sleep Cove features sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help those of you who struggle at night to achieve a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Search for Sleep Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see why Sleep Cove helps millions of people sleep deeply all night.